We're going to go to Daniel chapter 7. And this was prompted by God's Holy Spirit when I was listening to Paul Keith Davis. And it was a strong press to watch the obedience of a man of God. Daniel chapter 7, the dream of four beasts. Verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Right there. He stopped. See the example of a man that's willing to put it down in black and white, that we can reap what he learned roughly 2,000 something years before. He wrote it down. He wrote down the substance of his dream. And a lot of people have dreams and they just kind of poo-poo them away because they're not that important to them. Daniel said, in my vision at night, I looked and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the other, came out of the sea, the first like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on the 2 feet like a man. And the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. And it was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back, it had four wings, like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. Notice it was given authority. After that, in my vision, verse 7, at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. Pause. The courts was seated, and the books were open. I can remember years back when I was at PTL, and a man of God began to teach about our responsibility to do what we've been called to do and what we've been prepared to do before we entered this realm. Some of the declarations that you have made through the promises that were given to us, that what is written about me in the book will manifest in me, and I will complete what God wrote about me. Can I say yes or can I say no? Absolutely. But this man of God said, when the books were opened, what was my potential will be made known. If I have reached that potential, there will be a celebration and an awesome reality to my obedience. But if I was designed by God to be what he called me to be, and I said no because of feelings and emotions, I cancel the anointing that I was prepared to become. Because you see, if he wrote about me and I'm supposed to be this or that, then the grace is there to get me there. So the court was seated and the books were open. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beast had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Are we having trouble again? Can you guys still hear me? Yeah, okay. Let's go back to 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. If you notice, this is actually a vision like the one John had in the book of Revelation. Have you figured that out?
Yep.
Okay. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now you say, well, what is that all to do with me and you tonight? The interpretation is available. And verse 15 says, I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the vision that passed through my mind disturbed me. And I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. Verse 17. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever. And ever. Then I wanted to know, the true meaning of the fourth beast. If you notice how inquisitive Daniel is, if you see that, it gives you and I an example of being nosy. Godly nosiness is a gift. Don't settle with something that you read and you don't understand it and not question, because really you're falling short. Again, 19. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victim and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on the head and about the other horns that came up, before which three of them fell. And the horn that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. See, that's part of watching the accuser at work and his process. If you're looking for the key, it's actually under the lion. Oh. Again, I repeat, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. They possessed the kingdom. You see, the clarity of the explanation helps to understand that visions have meaning, but they're not always understood by the natural mind. And when you and I are receiving a vision, when we're receiving a word from the Lord, we need to be inquisitive. We need to be asking, what does it mean? Why has it been given to me? Verse 23. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The reason I'm saying this to you is this. I believe that we have seen the lion spirit crush the earth in what we've been witnessing for the past year, basically. When we got hit by this incredible darkness that has covered so many people and destroyed a lot of people. This COVID thing is a crown of darkness hitting many, many people. And it's crushing some of them because they are so bound with fear that they can't function. Verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from the kingdom, from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time and a half a time, basically 3.5 years. But the courts will sift, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High.
His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. All rulers will worship and obey him. All rulers. All rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. You know,
what I got to learn, did you notice again we're being pressured? We're being pressured because, again, the darkness does not want the truth to be seen. Your part in the body of Christ is not just what you're learning now, but when he returns, the kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the rulers will worship our king. But we're also going to be helping him. We're going to be doing things that have been prepared for us, and our training is now. You say, well, I don't feel like it's training. Sometimes you will feel like it's training. And some of it isn't comfortable. Like Gail shared earlier, watching the Revelator at work in us, enlightening us and showing us, oh my God, I'm catching on. I have not had the righteousness that I thought I had, because I've been depending on what my old patterns were. I haven't been leaning on the Lord. Notice the saints, all of them will be watching. Verse 26, but the courts will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. That's the Antichrist. His power will be what? Destroyed forever. You see, even if you listen to some of the arrogance that's going out right now with the mouth of some of these people that we're listening to on the news, that arrogance is visible, and it is ungodly. They mock you and I because we're believers. They laugh at us and call us different names. But if they were in power to complete what their mission is, they would all make us slaves. That's their goal. There will be a season, and I don't believe it's now. I do believe we're in a grace period. And we will stay in a grace period until we mature. God is not going to let you and me go until the maturity that he's planning for us, that's been written in our book, to be manifest. This is read as I've seen books written about this subject. Okay? But they were interpreted not to build confidence and a hunger for maturity. They were written to scare people into obedience. I can remember 1988 was going to be the day where all of the heavens were going to be restored, because it's going to be, you know, the day of salvation. And we're going to be taken up and out of here. And I'm not against people believing that you're going to be taken up. I'm not going to argue that. That's something that God will make clear to you. But I believe that if you're going to rule and reign, you have to have some kind of character traits. Because he's not going to give the responsibility to people that are not accountable for their time and their ways that they work, the ways that they do things, and the way that they are faithful. Why? Because again, character is above giftedness. You can have all the gifts and not be able to function as a man or a woman of God. I see choices made sometimes, not because I want to criticize people. That's not the point. But you know, there are simple things that you require of children that adults don't require of themselves. Parents are expecting their children to do certain things, but they themselves are not doing. So they've lost respect from their child. I watched that happen in my own house. A parent said something to a child, okay? And the child responded, but you, okay? On four or five different points. In other words, you're preaching to me to be a good child, but you're not being a good example. So what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Do you think our Heavenly Father's stupid? He's going to put you in charge of something that you can't show up? So, again, the character traits. Are we having a good time with this thing? Thank you, Lord. So, you know, be accountable. Be obedient to the best of your ability. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just giving you some concepts to awaken you that he's not going to give you a job to control half of Massachusetts as an authority in this region if you can't show up. That's simple. It's, you know, plain. When I was in school, I showed up on time. Why? I had to walk 2.5 miles. There were no buses. Whether there was snow, sleet, or rain, we went. It was a one-room schoolhouse. So I wasn't very old. Why? It taught me character. My father would not let me off the hook if I showed up late. And my teacher would mark my bulletin. How many days was I late? It's character. Okay? If you have an excuse, you'd bring an excuse from home, right? If you were sick, you had to have a doctor's slip. Why? Because the authorities are looking for you to be accountable, to be a man and woman of character. Daniel was a man of character. He wrote this down. And over 2,000 years ago, we are reading what happened to him. Right? He was accountable to do his job. We need to be accountable. And when we stand before the Lord, he's going to say, I never knew you. Why? Because your relationship with him was part-time. When you had nothing else to do better, you took time for him. Yeah, that should have been an ouch. All right? When you are honorable before God and you take time with him, he will show up. Okay? Now, does that mean that you have to have a formula that you sit down every morning or every night and you do this or that? No way. There are times that you're going to be sleeping over if you wish. There were other times, like last night, he got me up at around 3 o'clock, and I was up until 4. Why? Because I was interceding. Guess for who? Put your hat on, kids. Yes, for you. And whatever else he asked me to do. So what is he looking for? He's looking for people that are accountable, that are courageous enough to carry the ball when it's their turn to carry the ball. And then you're going to get a home run because you will be prepared. You know, a few years ago, my son had, my youngest son, had
asked one of his friends to attend a Patriot game in Marlborough. So, unfortunately, his buddy that was supposed to go with him lost his dad. And believe it or not, the funeral was on the day of the game. So I was second choice. Well, we went to the game. It cost close to $100 just to park your car. Okay. And then, of course, he had tickets, and they weren't cheap. And that was just for two people. There was a lot of stuff being sold. And personally, it was my first time to a professional game. I'm adding what the price tag of this night is going to be, okay? And I said, well, you know what? If the church charged equal amount once a week, we'd be rich. And people don't even take time to think that there's rent to be paid, that there's lights and whatever else. See, accountability on all those levels is important. Okay? Daniel had other dreams. His king was expecting him to be there on time to explain things to him. And you know what? I believe that Daniel can be trusted in the heavens. Can I learn from this man? Yes. Can I learn to change some habits? Yes. Can I be accountable with what I spend on what, where I spend, who's first in my life? And I hate preaching about money because it irritates me. But I am telling you something. Be obedient with your finances. Because some people spend more when they're, you know, going to a game under normal circumstances, not with COVID, obviously. But you understand where I'm coming from. I tabulated the numbers for that night, and I said to the Lord, no wonder everybody worships at that party. Everybody worships. They're worshiping with their finances, they're worshiping with their time, and they're worshiping with the television set right now, and they're not taking time for God. So when God decides to give a job to those that he has chosen, and he's written about it in their book, and they're in front of the TV, believe me, they're going to be told, I never knew you. Amen. I never knew you. Because the God that they're serving is themselves. And we talked about that this morning. The God of self, the me, myself, and I, thinking that I'm righteous because I'm doing everything right. In my eyes, I am, but in his eyes, am I? That's a good quote. So think about why we do what we do and the purpose of God to give us a vision here of the end times and what he's going to do and who he will put in charge forever and ever and ever. There's a purpose. The earth is going to be the Lord's. And it is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be the Lord's. He's not interested in destroying what he created. There might be a lot of destruction take place, just like there was now in Louisiana, which I saw again today. It was devastating what they went through. But our God is a God of love, and he cares about each of us. And he will continue to bless us.
So if you put your right hand over your heart, say, Holy Spirit, I want to be like Daniel. He's giving me an example. That if I have a dream, I'm going to write it down. So that others down the road of life will be able to read it and then understand it. And if I don't understand it, Holy Spirit will make it clear. Because he loves me.
because he loves me.
That's who came.
That's who came.
From heaven.
From heaven.
When the Lord Jesus sent him.
When the Lord Jesus sent him.
To comfort me.
To comfort me.
To heal my heart.
To heal my heart.
And I'm thanking him now.
And I'm thanking him now.
To heal my heart.
To heal my heart.
Because I know Jesus loves me.
Because I know Jesus loves me.
The Bible.
Bible
tells me so. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.